Good morning, church. Hello. I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for giving the opportunity to share with you or to bring the Word of God with us this morning. And before we do, I'd like us to just open the Word of God. If you carried your Bible or you want to read with me, can open the book of John chapter 10. John 10 from verse 22 to 31. John 10, 22 to 31. If you are visiting today, I just want to say welcome. My name is Fred, and we are glad to have you today. And if you are here because of a short stay, as you go back to your town or your place, please send your greetings back to your church or to your people, to your family. And you are here because you are looking for a place to worship. You're most welcome. This is the greatest family we ever have in Kerang. So you're welcome to be part of this family in Kerang. Back to John chapter 10. Our theme today is discerning the will of God. And I think many times, and I hope I'm not just the one or the only person, that you wake up every day and you're, God, I wish I knew what you're doing. I wish I knew your will. I wish I knew that you want me to be in Bali enjoying my retirement. I wish I knew it was just the right time to say, I want to have my retirement, or I want to have this, move this place to this place. I wish I knew that this was the best time or the right time to stand up and serve you, to change my career. Whatever you are thinking about that you wish that you could know. So it's important that as I share this message, I want you to. I want us to think through, and I want you to think about your own journey. That what is it that God is asking you to do? And are you discerning what God is asking you to share with Him? So let's read together from verse 22. Let's go. Then came the festival of dedication of Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. Then the Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" I've shown you a lot of stuff. Show me the one that you really want to pick up and say, this is not the right one. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we thank you because many times, even as you do stuff, that many times either we don't see or we don't understand. And today I pray that, Father, may you forgive us and open our heart, open our eyes to see the work that you're doing for your people. And today, Lord, I want to thank you for this message that I was to share today. I pray that may you guide us and lead us through this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Jews they are gathered around him. How long will you keep us in suspense if you are the Messiah? Tell us plainly. But I like the way Jesus is responding to these guys. I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. The works I do about my Father testify about me. And that's Jesus talking. But you do not believe. There's so much Jesus did. There's so much Jesus is doing even now. There's so much that is happening in the church today. But we are still asking God, what is your plan? What is your purpose? What are you doing, God? I feel guilty, even myself, that many times I have asked him, God, if you are there, tell me. God, if you are there, show me. God, if you are there, reveal yourself. Especially when you're feeling hopeless, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling confused, we want him to show up. But this is a confirmation that God is still working, even in those times that we can't see. It is possible to be so much involved in the church and still miss out on God. It's true. You can be the one welcoming people to the church. You can be the one ushering, serving communion, singing in church, but yet miss out on what God is doing in the church. You can be there. You stay here the whole time. We are talking about scripture. We are talking about worship. We are lifting up and worshiping him, but still go home and feel empty and hopeless. Jesus said that the works I do in my Father's name testify about me. The discourse is most likely a continuation of Jesus' conversation with the Jews following the healing of the blind man. And if you can remember the healing in John chapter 9, this man was born blind. Jesus never went to look for this guy in John chapter 9. The Bible says that they introduced Jesus to this man that was born blind. And they were asking Jesus, whose fault was that this man was born blind? And Jesus answered them and said, neither his parents or the problem of this young man. It was done for God's glory. And he grabbed some mud and threw saliva on it and put on the guy's eyes, sent him to the river, and the guy walked back home seeing. And now Jesus walks back to this place and he's surrounded by the Jews around him, and they're asking, please confirm to us whether you're actually the Messiah. And Jesus is wondering if somebody was born blind, that you can actually see, he's watching, he's talking, he's testifying about me. What else do you want to see to prove that I'm the one that you're looking for? And as Christians, we do that many times because we are not happy in our walk with Jesus. And you ask for a miracle to prove that he's the one. We ask for a sign to prove that he's the one. We ask for something. You tell them, God, if you don't do this for me, then you are not God. I've seen this happen on a Sabbath day. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. My message today, friends, that we can miss so much on God's timing and blessing just because we cannot discern what he's doing. And just the fact that this miracle is done on a Sunday or a Sabbath for those who look at Sabbath on a Saturday or whatever day, that just the fact this miracle is done on a Sabbath, they're saying this cannot be from God. As Christians, we are so wired in our own ways, in our particular ways, that we've put God in a box on how things should happen and when they should happen. And when something gets you by surprise or on an unexpected time or a day, instead of glorifying God, you're saying this cannot be God. Because God does not work on this day. God does not dress in a particular way. God does not even eat with his hands and washed. I was raised by parents who never ate lamb and pork. And I'm married from a home where they actually rear sheep. And the first day my parents visited their home, the parents slaughtered, as an honor to my parents, they slaughtered lamb. You see, I was raised parents who don't even eat lamb because lamb is holy. This is precious animal to my parents. In this home, actually they rear them, so many of them, slaughtering one of them to a family that they respect so much. You can guess what happened. But I love my parents. You know, they did not disrespect the family. They said, thank you. But we'll not eat the lamb. We'll carry it. We'll carry it home. And they carried it for other people can eat lamb. They're not angry. They're actually very excited. But we can use things to judge God. I eat lamb, but I can easily judge people that are eating lamb. I don't eat pork for health reasons, but I don't judge people who eat pork. What I'm saying is that the things that we choose in life and the circumstances that surround our religious and spiritual beliefs can come in the mix of our relationship with God. And we miss out on the thing that God is doing in our lives. I've seen people kneel down for God, but some people say, no, I can't kneel down. I've seen people raise up their hands. Some people say, we can't raise hands. I've seen people quietly sit in their homes, but still worship God in their quietness. I've seen people jump up and worship Christ. In their jumping, they're worshiping Christ. I've seen people just use drums to worship Christ. They don't have the systems, the PA, the equipment some churches have. But they just use their drum to worship Christ. I've seen Salvation Army. I love Salvation Army. Sometimes I watch Salvation Army dressed in their white with an accent marching on the way. I'm like, God, if heaven we're going to be watching, wearing something, I wonder what Salvation Army wear. Having that white and just marching on. It looks so nice. But it can be a hindrance to somebody else. That show me in the Bible where we're meant to watch to wear a uniform. Some people it can be a problem. The point is that we can miss the presence of Christ because of the things that people do. At this stage, the Jews missed on what God was doing simply because they could not discern his will. They were selfish, lost in their rules and rituals, and yet missed out on these works. The friends today, we can do the same. We can miss so much from God simply because we cannot discern his plans. We cannot discern his ways. We cannot discern what he's doing in his church today. We need to understand that God is doing his work even during chaos and challenges. He has invited us to join him through a relationship to be able to fulfill his purpose. We can be so self-centered instead of Christ-centered, hence miss out on him. I like this guy, and many of us have read his book, Henry. In his book, Henry says, in Experiencing God, he suggests that asking God, what is your will for my life, is not the right question. Instead, we should ask, what is God's will? Let me just clarify that on the next line there. In other words, I should be able to find out what is God doing. And once I know what he is doing, then I will be able to know what I need to do. The focus needs to be on God and not on my life. It's very easy as a Christian, everything to be just about me. Every time you go to before Christ, it's about me. Lord, what is the will for my life, for marriage, for my family, for my school, for my career? And sometimes we can so much about myself, we miss out on what God is doing. Like I've said, God has a plan and a purpose. His desire is for you and I to be part of his work, to be part of what he's doing. That if we can align ourselves with what God is doing, we can be able to feel so much. Yes, there are times I believe that God can work with us in our various plans and all that, but I don't think that God will allow himself to be so much distracted by our tiny, tiny ideas that we want God. I want you to go to Bali next week. I want to do this, and God is just pulled in where we want him to be pulled across. God has his own plans and his purposes, and his goal is for us to be able to align with what he's doing for his kingdom. And that's why when I talk about God's will, I'm referring to God's divine plan and purpose for his people and his entire creation. God did not create us for nothing. His will encompasses his desires and intentions for how his people should live. And not just how his people should live, but also conduct themselves in alignment with these principles. Understanding God's will can be very crucial for us as believers as we seek guidance, purpose, and direction as He continues to work in us and with us. Like I've just said, His desire is for us to align with His plans. As we're going to see, that as our plans and His plans align together, as His work and our ideas align together, we become one with Jesus Christ. That's why the Jews could not understand why Jesus is talking about my Father and I are one. They thought it's blasphemy. How can you become one with God? Because they did not discern what God was doing. But the oneness that Jesus is talking about is the oneness in thinking, the oneness in mind, the oneness in ideas, the oneness in planning, that we become one in Him to fulfill His purpose. So my first thing for us is we can design God's plan by surrendering ourselves to Him. Because Jesus started by telling the Jews that, but you'd not believe because you're not my sheep. God's will often calls for obedience and surrender. He told them, you can't even understand. You cannot even believe because you're not my sheep. You've not surrendered to what I'm doing. That pride is still carrying you and the things that you're doing for yourself. But until you surrender and become like sheep, it's amazing how they use sheep. Because as I learned from the West, they say that's foolish us. I've never understood why sheep is foolish and yet we eat it. I've never understood that the most innocent animal I've ever seen, very innocent. Not only for our lives, but surrender to His plan as well, even when it may not align with our personal desires or understanding. Trusting in God's wisdom and sovereignty is vital for the future for us. And I like this example from Mary. Mary is a good example of how God worked with many Bible characters. Mary told the angel, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. How many of us are willing to shelf your plans because of God's plans? At times I talk to some of our leaders, they say, I can't find somebody to do this. People have schedules. Diaries are full. Sometimes we've said we don't have somebody even to do the data. But, you know, all I'm saying is not bad to have plans, but I'm saying, can we actually shelf something for Christ? Can we say, I was planning to do this, but I'm sensing this is what God wants me to do. Today, I'm not doing this. I'm going to do this for God. I'm glad that we are having children coming up, babies. And my congratulations to Steve and Kirsty, Amanda and Daniel, you know, for babies that are coming up and so many other babies are coming up. It's a good thing for the church. It shows that the church is growing. We have young people coming up for the church for tomorrow. But the Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. We can't get enough people to serve these children. It's shocking. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And my prayer is that one or two people may say, you know what, God had these plans, but today and to yield for your call to serve the children. We met with the elders last week and we said we are going to have a meeting. We are going to give you a date soon. But my encouragement is that if today you are here or you know somebody who comes here and they have a desire to help us with the children, ask them to talk to us, either to one of the elders or myself. We want by the next time we kick off the program for kids, we want the children to have fun on Sundays. Not just have fun, but experience Christ in a bigger way. That allows us to God to use us to fulfill his purpose and his plan through these young people. That I want families that will visit Kerang say that I want to take my children to that church because Kerang Baptist is where kids find love. This is where children find God. This is where children are nurtured in their spiritual journey at this place. So talk to us. We are going to give you a date soon that we'll have that meeting that we can sit together and agree and think about what God is doing with the children in this church. But Mary is such a blessing that even with the planning of the wedding, that you put all your plans together. Like my friends Jackie and David, sorry to use you guys, but I know you are planning something. You're putting everything together and God says, this is my plan. And Mary says, let it be according to your word. Let it be. How many of us will sacrifice the wedding plans? You've sent out your invitation cards to your family members. You've booked the venues. You paid everything. And you say, let it be according to your word. That's what I call discerning. Discerning the will of God. Discerning what God is doing. And giving it priority. And I pray that may all of us as Christians, in our own way, and every day as we wake up, ask God, what is it that is happening in your world? What is it that I can be part of? What is it that you're doing I want to join? What is it that, where are you working today that I want to be there? What is it that you are working on that I want to be part of it? Like I said, surrender is one of the ways to discern the will of God. And like Paul is confirming to the Romans, here he says that Paul urged them by saying, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Friends, if you want to test and approve what God's will is, you surrender, your submission to him. I think for us, that's the first place to start as Christians, that if you never surrender to him, and I like what Jesus told the Jews, that my sheep know my voice. If you never surrender to him, even knowing his voice will not be possible. And that's the starting point. I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've been planning about it. But I want to encourage you today, surrender your life to him, to be able to know his voice when he's asking you to do that. My sheep hear my voice, in verse 27. In other words, they are sensitive. We can discern the will of God by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, We believe the Holy Spirit is a divine helper and dwells within us. Listening to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's leading can offer clarity about God's plan. I do believe that the Holy Spirit is there for a reason, for us to be able to work with Him, to guide us. And the last thing I want to say is, discerning God's will may require seeking wisdom from trusted spiritual mentors, elders, pastors, as well as seeking God's guidance through Bible prayer and fasting. There's so many options. If you can read the Word of God, you can talk to somebody. You can talk to a mentor. You can talk to a pastor. You can talk to an elder. You can talk to a leader. You can talk to a friend that is a Christian like you. You can pray to discern the God's will in your life. There's so much we can do to be able to discern God's will in our lives. God has a plan just as He did in the days of Israel. Moses discerned His will and responded to His voice during the burning bush experience. You know, the challenge with a lot of us Christians, just because He responded to Moses through the burning bush, it's very easy for me to start looking for a burning bush experience. I said last week that He works in unique ways. His ways may not be necessary. Your ways may not be necessarily mine. He may respond to you in a burning bush, but He may not necessarily respond to me in a burning bush. So every day I'm walking and watching where there's a smoke. Could that be the burning bush experience? Your way may be different. There's so much God has in His plans. But there are three things I picked here, just as I finish, that He has given us life as part of His plan. By proclaiming that I give them eternal life, that's a big plan for you and I. Eternal life is a big plan. He says that He has offered assurance. He has offered assurance by saying, they shall never perish. They shall never perish. He doesn't say that I'm not sure. I guess He says they'll never perish. He has guaranteed our security by declaring that no one will snatch them out of my hands. His plan is guaranteed security for you and I. His plan of assurance of salvation, that if you stick in His feeding area, if you stick within or around Him, if you stick with Him, if you stick with His plans, that you're assured of eternal life, you're assured of your salvation, it's guaranteed. Your security is guaranteed, no one else. Even Satan himself, he may try to threaten you, but the fence that is put around us is strong enough. You know, when I'm talking about this, I'm thinking about the sheep. I'm thinking about the sheep. The amount of work farmers do to make sure that they're surrounded, they're taken care of, they're secured. They are able to eat and be looked after. But yet we miss out on all these things if we don't discern His will. Most of the Jews spent time with Jesus. So most of the miracles and teachings He did, but yet they were not able to discern the will of their Father. They are not different from us. Like I said at the beginning, you can be here every Sunday. You can be in every fellowship. You can read the Bible. You can be serving every weekend. You can be worshiping and praying. But if you're not discerning His will and His plan, if you're not aligned in His plans, we miss out. And we can miss out on the things that He's promising us as Christians. Jesus is inviting us to a place where we can see what the Father is doing and joining him, and join him. When we join in what he's doing, we become one in purpose, in operation. And operation. Jesus did the same. And that's why he declared that I and the Father are one. Prepare today that whatever plans each one of us has, because I'm not sure what you're thinking, or you're not sure what I'm thinking today. I don't know what you're planning, and you don't know what I'm planning. But I want to believe in my heart that whatever plans you have and whatever plans I have, that will be aligned with what God is thinking. That our oneness in Christ will not just be oneness of talking about God, but oneness actually is having the same ideas, the same thinking, the same planning. I want to invite Jason to come back with the team and lead us in the final song. But as I do today, I want to pray for somebody that is feeling confused, that is feeling left out today. Maybe today you walked in this place and you're feeling today, God, you're so far away from me. Maybe you had ideas today, you had plans, but you don't know whether actually those plans are within what God is thinking. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for your love today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help us not to be like the Jews that watched you do so much, miracles, heal people, save people, restore life, but yet they were asking to see the Messiah. May you help us to discern your will in our lives. As the word says, not mine, but yours. As the prayer says, not mine, but your will. That may your will be done in heaven as it's done here in heaven on earth. That whatever is done here on earth will be the same in heaven. That we'll be one with you. Not just in eternity, but is in purpose, in planning, and in work. Thank you, Jesus. Those of us who are able to stand, just stand quietly, if you're able to stand, just quietly. I want to invite Jason just to lead us in the next song. But if you need prayer, like I said, and you're asking God, where am I? We are here to pray with you today.